Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for hour number two of our big two-hour weekend get-together here on A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and of course the program is hosted by Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. This hour we're going to be joined by Richard Neer, our senior correspondent, and he'll be talking with Dr. Michael Peer. He's the Director of Professional Relations for the Bausch and Lomb North American Vision Care Business, and he's going to talk to Richard about cataracts, something that affects all of us here in the upper demographic region of the age spectrum. Also, we're going to be talking a bit about Linda Ronstadt and her Parkinson's disease diagnosis, how it is impacting her singing career, or bringing it to an end, unfortunately. And also we talk a little bit about her career and some of the things that made her great and some of the things that we wonder about in terms of her artistic achievements. It should be very interesting indeed. Okay, let's get into today's program. Here's the host of our show, Carol Marks, in conversation with Dr. John Leaf. He's a graduate of Harvard Medical School. He's a practicing neuropsychiatrist in Boston with specialties in the interface of psychiatry, neurology, and medicine. He's going to talk to Carol about the importance of exercise in learning and how 10,000 genes are affected.
Now, first, Dr. Leaf, I want you to define two terms we all need in order to understand what you do. The first is neuropsychiatry, and the second is a comparatively new term, neuroplasticity. So why is that term so important in describing the brain, and what does neuropsychiatry mean?
Well, neuropsychiatry is the overlap between psychiatry and neurology and medicine. In actual fact, many elderly people have combinations of illnesses that include medical illness, that include perhaps emotional changes, and that include some changes in nerves. And many of the problems in the hospitals are complex and involve all of the above. So I treat patients in hospitals who have these complex situations. And in actual fact, both neurology and psychiatry deal with the brain, but in different aspects. So they're very similar in some ways and different in other ways. The word neuroplasticity, plasticity meaning plastic or changeable, is a term that has grown up in the last 15, 20 years. At first, we all thought that the brain was very static and there was not much happening, but it's been found recently that it's incredibly active, even in very old people. The brain is constantly changing. The number of neurons is fairly settled early on in life, but then a small number of neurons continue to be made in the critical regions of the brain that involve learning and memory. So every day, elderly people make new brain cells that are then put in place for learning and memory, and obviously stimulating that is a good idea. Also, it's been recently learned that each neuron connects with up to 100,000 other cells, so they have this incredible set of network and connections. These connections change minute by minute, hour by hour, thought by thought. They're changing every day, and at night they're pruned and consolidated, and memory is strengthened, circuits are strengthened and weakened. So this is what neuroplasticity means. Also, the other cells in the brain, which are actually most of the cells, the astrocytes are 10 times as many as neurons, they actually control what is read on an MRI, not the neurons. And they control blood flow, and they also control the synapses, and astrocytes are constantly making new ones. So that process is occurring.
That's all just amazing. And when it comes to learning new things, the brain can do it so quickly. And in your book, you talk about the fact that there was an experiment where 2 hours after people were blindfolded and couldn't see, they were actually able to learn to trace things. And I found that amazing.
Yes. Whenever one sense is diminished, the brain continues to seek information and just alters itself, and it alters in a remarkable number of different ways. I've written some posts on them. Some of them get a little technical, but it involves many, many different mechanisms. People used to think, scientists used to think that the that the learning and the neuroplasticity occurred in one synapse at a time, but that is not the case. It actually occurs in wide networks all over the brain. So things that use more of the brain at once actually stimulate greater experiences. And this we've experienced, for example, with music. Music involves moving. It involves meaning of the song, meaning of the people near you. It involves a large, wide network, and therefore these experiences are very powerful. Music is used to help with Parkinson's disease, with the rhythm, because it's expanded the circuit. Let me give one little example. If you're a high jumper and you're going to high jump, if you think about the high jumping and image it, you increase your rate 35%. But if while you're imaging before the jump, you move your arm as you image, you increase it 45%. Well, that seems kind of crazy, but what that is saying is that we've increased the circuit of the brain to include the physical movement, and therefore the experience is more powerful. So experiences that involve meaning, that involve particular activities, that involve particular people, that involve movements as well, make the strongest learning.
Now, what about the brain? You said it's multisensory. So where in the brain are our senses located? Do we have any idea?
Well, for a long time, it was believed that the brain is modules. Like there's a vision module and a hearing module, and then somehow they're put together in these association areas. But it's been recently learned that almost most of the neurons are connected widely to multiple different senses and multiple modalities. So most of the brain is multisensory, meaning that when you taste, you don't just taste, you're also smelling and seeing. When you listen, when you watch someone speak, you're not just watching them speak or hearing them, you're doing all of the above. You know, Helen Keller could hear speech through touch, holding someone's jaw. So in reality, if you look at it, and I have articles on this so that you can see that on the website, and another name for my website is Searching for the Mind. So you can find it either way, John Leaf, MD, or Searching for the Mind. But the articles on neuroplasticity go into multiple examples of how we use many senses. Again, it's just the message that the wider the circuit that we're using for learning, the more powerful the learning is at any age. This includes very old age. And one of the most remarkable discoveries is that exercise, physical exercise, is the greatest stimulus for neuroplasticity and for learning. As a matter of fact, a study just this week found that when you physically exercise, 10,000 different genes are affected in the cells. It's a phenomenally complicated situation, but it just shows how powerful even the smallest amount of exercise. Generally, we're a little too sedentary. People should get up, walk around a little bit during the day. They shouldn't sit all day. And movement is the natural part of the body. But the brain responds to movement and exercise, even the smallest exercise, by allowing increased neuroplasticity. There are more brain cells, more connections occur right after, there's a window after exercise. So exercise and movement has become probably the most critical factor, as well as there was another study that showed that if you are helping other people and get satisfaction from that, that will create major healthful benefits to that person who was being helpful in the immune system. But if you have some other pleasure, just enjoy doing something, your hobby, you don't get those benefits. So having meaning attached to activities, helping people, and the elderly have so much experience, they could easily be very helpful to a lot of people just with their knowledge and experience in all kinds of things. That in itself increases the immune system and helps the brain.
Well, you know, you are so right.
And you combine that with a little bit of movement, you have a formula for better brains.
That's Dr. John Leaf. part one of a two-part conversation. Carol will continue to talk to him. Carol Marks, of course, conducting the interview. He's a doctor. He's quite a doctor. He's a graduate of Harvard Medical School, practices neuropsychiatry in Boston. He specializes in the interface of psychiatry, neurology, and medicine. And if you're tuning in and tuning out right now, I'll give you his website real quickly, johnleifmd.com. That's JONLIEFFMD.com. That's JONLIEFFMD.com. Part two of Dr. John Leif in conversation with Carol Marks, including how to eat healthy. That's coming up next when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and it's time now for part two of the conversation we began in the past segment with Carol Marks interviewing Dr. John Leif. Dr. John Leif is a graduate of Harvard Medical School and a practicing neuropsychiatrist in Boston with specialties in the interface of psychiatry, neurology, and medicine. And now he's going to talk to Carol about how to eat healthy.
We've talked about physical exercise and volunteering. What about mental exercises? You know, those crossword puzzles and all those kinds of things.
Well,
are
they're
they
exercised, and people are making money off it. But the truth of the matter is, there's nothing special about that. And it's more important that people be active using their brain. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not going to be a magic bullet. What is better is to use your brain and your mind involved in helping. Involved in whatever you're interested in, and also, of course, appetite, food, and sleep are very important also for memory and learning. and people have to have a certain amount of good sleep, and they have to eat well, eat good food. The brain responds to, you know, proper diet as well.
And one of the things, I mean, I knew that eating refined sugars was bad, but I never realized that actually these ingredients can enter your brain through our bloodstream, and that really puts toxic chemicals in our body.
Well, we all need sugar, but sugar that is basically a chemical, it's so purified that it's basically a chemical, enters the cells much, much too rapidly and creates havoc. You need sugar from carbohydrates and fruits that naturally break them down slowly. So you get a little bit of sugar, not a whole lot of sugar. And the huge amount of sugar we're getting in almost everything today that isn't cooked naturally. I mean, if you buy anything processed, you get too much sugar. And it is very toxic to the health system. It just creates all kinds of hormones and chaos in the metabolism.
So what kind of diet is brain friendly?
Well, clearly, you know, everyone's read, I'm sure, about, you know, fresh foods, you know, fruits and healthy fruits and vegetables, grains, you know, good fish, not poison fish, is good. Probably some chicken, if it's they're probably raised without see, eating too many chemicals is just not healthy. And there's chemicals in a processed food. So anything that's processed in a package, you read the label. When you start seeing words you've never understood before, like chemical names, then those aren't going to be that healthy. So you want to avoid chemicals that are put in foods. So the fresher it can be, the better. And the less of the refined, the chemical sugar, where it's just so pure that it's too powerful for the system. Those are the most important things.
Now, I wanted to ask you, before we get to things that people can find on your website, something I've always wondered about, and that is the brain and the mind. So what's your theory about where the mind is located, and does the mind cause changes in the brain?
Well, I've spent my life researching that question, and of course dealing with the brain and the mind in patients, where you see the mind affecting the body and where you see the body affecting the mind. In my view, clearly it goes both ways. Now, many scientists believe that there is no such thing as mind. It's just an epiphenomena. They're like pixels on a computer, that the molecules create this mind. But I don't think that's true, because science is in between people. Culture is in between people. And therefore, there are many things that can't be explained by simply looking at one brain. So I started searching for where the mind might be, and I found that there's evidence of mind all through nature. There's evidence of mind in animals, in plants, even in microbes. And I've written many articles on the behavior of plants, animals. As a matter of fact, I just put up an update on plant intelligence, and last week was an update on animal intelligence. Animals are far more intelligent than people think, and there are studies that show that just being in nature is healthy, and it creates, it's like meditation. Just walking in nature has an effect like relaxation and meditation, and there's a lot of evidence that learning to have a relaxation response helps the immune system, helps the health, helps the brain. So being in nature and learning how to relax have very, very positive effects on the brain.
Now, can you give us the name of your website and blog? Because I know it has two names. And we've talked about some of the things that would be on there, animal behavior and plants. But what are some of the other things that people can find on your website?
Well, I've divided it into 8 subjects, and there are buttons for each 8 subject. But you can also press the button Table of Contents. That's probably the best way to see all the articles, because there's over 100 articles now. And one is the human brain, obviously. So I have a lot of articles. For example, there's a recent article on hidden talents that everyone probably has. We see accidental savants who suddenly have all these amazing capacities after they have a brain injury. We see also laboratory production of out-of-body experiences now has occurred. So this is now known to be a normal state. So this is under human brain, and you can see all of the articles. I have several articles on how music uniquely affects the brain. But you have to look on the table of contents down a ways for the music articles. There's four of them. Then the next button is animals, and I go into the high intelligence of animals that are different from human brains. For example, bees have abstract concepts, symbolic language, have a kaleidoscopic memory of 5 miles, they remember every single flower they see. They're incredibly intelligent in a tiny little brain. Birds are incredibly intelligent. Lizards are much more intelligent than people thought. So there's a lot about animals. Then plants, I just wrote an update on how plants exhibit intelligent behavior. And very, very surprisingly, microbes communicate in a very complicated way. They do behaviors together. So that's under the microbe section. It's a section under evolution. But probably looking at the button that says table of contents is the way to, then you can scroll down and see all the articles.
That's Dr. John Leaf in conversation with Carol Marks. He is a doctor. He is a neuropsychiatrist. He is an expert in the interface between psychiatry, neurology, and medicine, a graduate of Harvard Medical School. And if you'd like more information about the subject matter that he presented and about Dr. John Leaf in general, his website is johnleafmd.com. And I will spell it for you. It's johnleafmd.com. That's johnleafmd.com. Carol Marks conducted that interview, and if you are interested in archived material that you hear on this program or that you would like to hear that you've missed, go to atouchofgray.com, our website, atouchofgray.com, and we spell gray with an E. Some good stuff there. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Richard Neer, our senior correspondent, and in the next half hour, Richard's going to be talking with Dr. Michael Peer. He's the Director of Professional Relations for the Bausch & Lomb North American Vision Care Business, and he's going to talk about cataracts. That and more coming your way. We're going to talk about Linda Ronstadt and her diagnosis with Parkinson's as well, and a little bit about her musical career. That and more coming your way. When A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great talk radio station in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security webpages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair as we continue along with this second hour of our big two-hour get-together. And the rest of the way, we will be joined by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. Richard Neer, in just a moment, is going to be talking with Dr. Michael Peer. He's the Director of Professional Relations for the Bausch & Lomb North American Vision Care Business. And they're going to be talking about cataracts. And, Richard, I do know that whenever I have my eyes checked at this particular point on the timeline of my life and people of our age group, they always talk about cataracts. That is something that does impact people here in the upper demographic realm, doesn't it?
Yes, and the good doctor will tell you all about that, that most of us are going to have them at one time or another. It's one of those things that we're living longer now. And certain parts of our bodies wear down, and our lenses in our eyes get foggy and wear down over time and eventually need replacing. But fortunately, the science has come so far that it's a relatively quick and painless surgery.
All right, well, that's certainly the good news. I was reading somewhere the other day that the eye muscles, that the eye moves so much that if the eye were to be on the same scale as your leg, it would be like the biggest muscle in your body, that eyes move the equivalent of like walking 100 miles a day or something, that we don't even think about how amazing the muscles in our eye, not that cataracts have anything to do with that, but there's just certain aspects of our physiology we don't often think about.
And you wonder who does think about those things.
Well, I'll tell you,
you
one
wonder
thing.
Who does that research.
That's a good point, and we got to move on, but there are people amongst our species that spend their entire lives really, really delving into the depths of very narrow little parts of the big picture, and that's why we as humanity know so much collectively, and anybody who thinks they know it all is deluding themselves. So in our effort to keep people aware of things that they might need, let's continue to do the show. Quick break. Richard Neer's going to be talking about cataracts, and then he'll be back to talk with yours truly as we wrap up the program today. Hope you're enjoying it. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, as promised, in conversation with Dr. Michael Peer. Neer, meet Peer. Now, Dr. Michael Peer is the Director of Professional Relations for Bausch & Lomb, North American Vision Care Business, and as we told you, they're going to talk about cataracts.
Doctor, is that something that just about everybody, once they pass a certain age, has to deal with?
Yes, it's unfortunate but true that as our eyes age, so does the incidence of cataract in the human eye. And we find that the most common cause of cataract actually is biological aging. When we're over 60, 65, 70, 75, the incidence of cataract goes up as do the candles on the birthday cake.
Now, what exactly are cataracts?
Well, it's a clouding of the crystalline lens inside the eye. And that cloudiness can be analogous to the cloudiness of a window. The light goes through the cornea and iris and is focused on the back of the eye, and the primary focusing mechanism is the lens. And it's that lens itself that turns cloudy, primarily, again, with age. There's different types of cataract. It can be caused by trauma or radiation or disease, but primarily, and I'd say the majority of cataract is age-related.
And what can be done? Is there anything that can be done to slow the formation of cataracts?
Well, that's the question that's been asked for years and years, because it is so common, and the process that we have had in the past and also use today is to actually just remove the lens and replace it with a intraocular lens, an implant lens. That procedure, although quite effective and simplified, is still surgical in nature. So what we've asked ourselves and done a lot of work on is to try to prevent that from even happening. There are some things that show promise, but we haven't really, through research and technology, come up with any one or two specific things that have actually been able to keep it from happening. The idea of ultraviolet rays causing a acceleration has always been thought to be there, and so there have been the idea that if I use sunglasses that filter ultraviolet, UV protection lenses, that I could slow that down. And in many cases, with that passage of time, that will have an effect, but it doesn't eliminate it. Other diseases that we know of, including diabetes and hypertension, have a accelerative effect on cataract formation. So controlling them is so important, especially as we get older, because this cataract formation can be an adverse response to a hypertension that's not under control, or even diabetes that's accelerated.
Doctor, you're working with Bausch and Lomb,
but not necessarily eliminate.
Doctor, you're working with Bausch and Lomb, and they have Ocuvite, which contains lutein, and that's for macular degeneration. That doesn't really affect cataracts, though, does it?
No, it's unfortunate that we've tried to see what type of medications that might work to slow it down, but the Center for Disease Control and the International Health Organization have done different types of studies and found that although doing a fantastic job of decreasing the aggression of macular degeneration, we've had little significant effect on cataract formation. Now, that's not to say that there are some preventative opportunities with nutrients like lutein and zeaxanthin or antioxidants, but primarily, the big advantage to them is in the back of the eye, not in the lens.
Now, Doctor, are cataracts something that people generally notice on their own, or is that something that an optometrist would pick up on a yearly exam?
That's a great question, because there are primarily three different types of cataracts. Nuclear cataracts are cataracts that form in the center of that lens of the eye, are easily recognizable by the patient. They have a tendency to diffuse the light and cause almost a decrease in central vision, the focusing vision that we use. Cortical cataracts, though, are an opacification or cloudiness of the lens that starts, if you will, from outside in. And those easily picked up by an eye care professional, such as an optometrist or ophthalmologist, are not as easily seen by the patient initially, because they affect more the peripheral vision rather than the central vision. And so what happens is that our vision may start to decrease, especially in bright light, or especially in low light, I'm sorry, And what happens there is that it's easier to pick up on a comprehensive eye examination than it is for us to see differences in our vision when we're out and about.
Now, the surgery with the implants, is that a permanent solution, or does that lens wear out after a period of time and have to be replaced?
Oh, I know that's a question that many patients ask, and the answer to that is it's more of a permanent solution. So the advances that we've had in cataract surgery today have allowed us to be able to do those implant lenses for patients mostly on an outpatient basis in a process that lasts less than a half a day and is permanent in nature. It clears up the vision. It eliminates any incidence of cataracts ever forming again, and works very, very well for the multitude of patients who have it.
Now, is that an instant solution? In other words, once you come out of the office and you get home, the next day you wake up and your eyes are fine? Or does it take time to adjust?
The answer is yes to that. For the majority of patients, I don't want to cause any fear of anyone, but this idea of the fear of surgery for this particular procedure it's not very great at all. And once the trauma, if you will, or swelling goes back down, which usually takes anywhere from 1 to 2 days, that patient is seeing clearly and doing well and basically has their eyes back.
Now, can you do any kind of corrective work? In other words, if someone has, let's say, 20/40 vision with this new implanted lens, can you correct that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the advances in that surgery are such that if I had to wear glasses before, I may very well never have to even wear glasses again, much less see through a cloudy lens. So it's an additive advantage for many patients to be able to take advantage of the new cataract implant lenses that are available. And, in fact, we can actually now correct not only that 20/40 vision, but also eliminate the need many times in having to have reading glasses, which is another incidence that comes with, of course, age and candles on the birthday cake.
Well, I know a lot of people are very hesitant to have any kind of surgery, and then when you say about the eye, they go, oh, I don't want to do that. But is there an advantage to catching it early, or basically you get to a point where it's intolerable and then you should do it? I mean, in terms of the timetable for doing the surgery.
That's a really good question. And one of the things that we've learned over time is that it's no longer better to wait. Used to be a generation ago, we would say, well, we don't want to do a cataract surgery until they're, quote, ripe. And one of the reasons for that was that the techniques and the technology we had then allowed us to do an easier, less traumatic extraction of that lens when it was more mature. One of the other things about it was that we weren't able to be as precise in the type of correction that we would have as an endpoint. Today, we have the technology, the lenses, and the designs that allow us to predict almost exactly what the endpoint will be, so there's no longer that need to wait. And in fact, once they've been identified and start to affect the normal visual function, that is the best time to have it done. The only thing you would lose or gain with waiting is just time, but you would also lose the ability to see so much clearer again. So my advice for patients is that if that vision is identifiable as a cataract and the surgical procedure is one that's within that patient's means, to go ahead and have it done. Sooner makes life better instead of waiting.
Doctor, when the artificial lens is implanted, does it feel different to the patient? Do they feel like there's something in their eye, or is it just naturally like a regular lens?
It's naturally like a regular lens. The awareness of that lens in the eye is totally invisible. There's no awareness factor at all, and in fact, the surgical procedure is short, and the recovery time is so fast that within a week to 2 weeks, I'm back to normal and actually back to better. and smiling and happy that it ever happened.
Dr. Michael Peer, in conversation with Richard Neer. He's the Director of Professional Relations for Bausch & Lomb, North American Vision Care. And the subject, of course, has been cataracts. Richard Neer returns for some final words. We're going to talk about Linda Ronstadt. That's next. On A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups continues in just a moment.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
For almost every American worker, Social Security is part of the plan for a secure retirement. It's important to know how the program works. If you have questions, the answers are easy to find when you visit www.socialsecurity.gov. Use the retirement estimator to get a benefit estimate. Browse our frequently asked questions. You can even apply for benefits online. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov to figure out your retirement plan. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segment of this big two-hour get-together here on the weekend that we get to spend with you. And as promised, Richard Neer, our senior correspondent, is back. Thanks for that interview. Very interesting, Richard. Very informative. And, okay, well, taking a look back at the week and where we are in the world, anything floating across your multifaceted mind?
Well, the sad news about Linda Ronstadt, that at age 67, she will probably never sing again.
That's a tragedy. I believe she's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Yes.
And that does affect the nerves and the muscles and things that very sensitively go into making a very specialized instrument as that of Linda Ronstadt's voice.
And the great thing about Linda Ronstadt, you know, a lot of rockers, Rod Stewart has done, you know, the classic American songbook. She was so versatile, though. She could belt out rock and roll. She could sing plaintive ballads. She could sing Broadway show tunes. She sang the songs for her father, Mexican heritage and all of that. She had such versatility, and yet I don't know that she was ever respected. She's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which to me is a huge, huge.
Okay, oversight. You're bringing up something. You're bringing up something that's bugged me for years, and I'm glad we're addressing it. What is with Linda Ronstadt's legacy? What is with her career? You and I both know what a great talent she is, and everybody that I know in the music business or in the radio business all agree Linda Ronstadt is very special. And was very special, versatile, beautiful voice, country singer, rocker. What is missing from the picture that has made the kind of stardom and respect that we know she deserves elude her? Or has it? Maybe we're wrong. Maybe she is celebrated on the level that she should be. I don't get it.
I don't think by the critics, and I think there's one thing about her that stands out that other people have a problem with, and that's that she doesn't write her own songs. She interprets others' songs. She's not a singer-songwriter. She is a great, you know, and Frank Sinatra didn't write songs. So many other great artists didn't
write
songs.
Judy Garland didn't write songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of the people today that are big in today's pop, you know, contemporary hit radio scene don't write their own songs. They don't even know who they are. Hmm. They don't even produce their own songs. They don't even sing their own songs. The machines produce them.
She came from a time where the singer-songwriters, the Carole Kings, mm-hmm. the James Taylors, all mm-hmm. those people were the ones, oh, yeah, they write their songs, they sing them, and she didn't. She sang Warren Zevon songs. She sang Roy Orbison songs.
Buddy Holly songs.
Buddy Holly, the Neville Brothers she sang mm-hmm. with. You know, so She falls short in some people's eyes there, but there's nothing wrong with a great interpreter of other people's songs who actually do better versions of their songs than the original artists.
So that might be one thing. I'll tell you something else, and I think that that's the main thing. I think you hit the nail on the head, but I think another thing about Linda Ronstadt, and look at how we're praising her and then trying to figure out what's wrong with her. The other thing about Linda Ronstadt that I have found listening to her music over the years is I never felt that she was produced properly. I as good as her records are, I've always had the feeling that they could have been better. Not her, but the way the instrumentation.
How so?
I don't know. They just there's I can't explain it. I'm perplexed by Linda Ronstadt. I really am. But do I like her? One of my favorites. Also, maybe because she made it in so many different genres, she never became the darling of any one of them because of snobbery. Country people, well, she's a rocker. Rocker, well, she's country. Then she did the song, you know, the American Songbook stuff, and, you know, that was ahead of her time. Now they're all doing it because...
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. You know, it's funny, I met her once, and it was so weird.
We're out of time. Thank you, Richard Neer. Certainly interesting, and we will continue to talk about such things in the future. Thank you, Beverly Santanello, on the front line, our producer. Thank you, Carol Marks, the host of the show. Thank you, Steve Wiseman, Kevin Casey, the entire Touch of Grey broadcast team. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another two-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.